ओम शांति। आई होप ऑल ऑफ यू हैड गुड रेस्ट एट नाइट एंड नाउ यू आर फ्रेश फॉर द होल डे। वी स्टार्ट द मॉर्निंग सेशन। द टॉपिक ऑफ दिस सेशन इज Discovering your spiritual identity. Who is the yogi? Or who am I? Today, on the name of yoga, so many different types of physical exercises or asanas are taught, which are named as yogasanas. And people think that if the body is healthy, then the mind can also become healthy. What they call it as a healthy mind in a healthy body. And therefore they try to make the body healthy first, and then go to quieten the mind in order to make it healthy. And therefore there are different types of meditations. But actually, have we understood the word yoga? What does the word yoga mean? What does it really teach? What is the experience of it? Actually, this word yoga doesn't have a very big definition. It doesn't have a very big meaning. The simplest meaning of the word yoga is to connect, to communicate, to join, to meet. Any type of meeting, communication, joint is called yoga. The opposite of this word yoga is viyoga. And viyoga means a separation, going away, being separated. So just as being separated means viyoga, in contrast to that, coming together, meeting, is called yoga, which comes from a Sanskrit word, yuja. Yuja means to connect, to meet, to unite. So any type of union is yoga. And we can take this union on different levels, at different levels. The physical level of union is when you are joining two objects. So that is also called yoga. If you add sugar into milk, that is yoga between milk and sugar. And the result of that yoga is the milk becomes sweet. Whatever is added to something, that thing changes and the quality of that which is added comes into it. So milk becomes sweet, and we can say there is yoga between milk and sugar. Similarly, you can give so many different examples. We have electricity here because there's yoga with the powerhouse. You are able to listen to a frequency to your language because you are tuned to that particular frequency. So this is also called yoga, and the result is we are able to receive with what there is yoga. There is light around because there is yoga with the powerhouse. You are able to listen to the translation because there's yoga with the translator now through the channel of the mic and the amplifier. So on a physical level, we can understand yoga in this way. Then there's the other level called the mental level. Mental level means where the mind is connected. Because the mind is always thinking. And with whatever it is connected to through the thoughts, that is what we say we are in yoga with it. You think of an object, a place, a situation, a person, you are in yoga with that. And the result of that is immediately you start experiencing it. You remember a happy incident which happened maybe 20 years ago. You immediately start feeling happy. You remember a sad incident some many years ago and that incident is remembered, you are visualizing it. Immediately you become part of that situation of sorrow and immediately you feel so sad as if it's happening in front of you. So you are connected with that. And this is called yoga on a mental level. But when this word yoga is used at a spiritual level, it means it is the connection of the self with God. Spiritual beings, spirit, the self is a spiritual being. I am not a physical being having a spiritual entity in me. But I am a spiritual entity with this physical appearance. In the physical appearance, I am a spiritual entity. So it's the connection between the spirit, self or soul and the supreme soul, Atman and Paramatma. And because this connection or link is the highest form of link or communion, it is called Raja Yoga. Raja Yoga means the highest on high, where the communication is with the Supreme God. And the method to communicate is also the highest, because people think there are different methods. But of course, those different methods may be there, but still, which is the best method? The highest method, the greatest method, the shortcut method, easiest method. People think reaching God is like going to the top of a mountain. There may be different ways to reach the top, different paths, but you would surely like to choose the easiest, the best, the shortcut without any difficulty, not the longest and the hardest and the most difficult and all that, but the shortest, the easiest, the best and easy, quick result giving. And therefore, Raj Yoga is that royal path which everyone can walk on. Every age group can do it. Every individual can do it. Because it teaches us the way of life. The art of living, you know, today this word has become so attractive. Art of living. So are we really knowing the art of living? What is the art of living? Life should become an art. In the sense that whatever we do should be something very great. Walking on a road is ordinary. But walking on a rope is something great. Walking on a road may not need any special art. But walking on a rope really needs a lot of art. It needs a lot of balance. It needs a lot of practice. It needs a lot of concentration. It needs a good focus. It needs a strong vision. of reaching the destination. Similarly, art of living means if I am experiencing life to be very boring, unhappy, miserable, sad, tense, you know, all these negative feelings, negative experiences, then we are not really experiencing life as something great or an art. Life will become like a burden. But if there is peace, love, happiness, bliss, relationships are good, communication with people is good, people are understanding, cooperative, sympathizers, there's a lot of affection, you know, then life is like a blessing. And we do say that human life is the best life, highest life. There are so many different types of lives, you know, everyone is living. The one who is able to breathe is living. When the breathing dies, then there is death. Finishes, then there is death. So just breathing alone is not enough. That every living object, living thing breathes. Even plants breathe. Insects breathe. But human life is considered the best of all because we have the intellect, the understanding capacity, the decision capacity. There's a guiding force within, the spiritual self which is always guiding us towards the right path. So if we are able to awaken that which is now sleeping, then we say it is the art of living. And through meditation we are able to awaken it. But then, how to awaken it? Through the awareness of the true self. So who am I is a very big question which has come down, you know, since ages. Even the greatest of philosophers have been asking this question. Who am I? Why am I? From where am I? What is the purpose of life? Where do I have to go? What do I have to do for that? Many people think life is just meant to enjoy in a physical way, eat, drink and be merry. That's what some people think. Just eat, drink and be merry. Who has seen tomorrow? Life is only the present. But life is not just the present. Today the present depends on the past. And this present will lead to a future. So I'm not just in the present. There's a big philosophy of karma behind my present life. My past will lead to my present and my present will lead to my future. Every cause has an effect and every effect will become a cause for another effect. And therefore, I cannot just say, well, eat, drink and be merry, this is life. No, there's a lot more than that. Also, some may say that just holding things, you know, accumulating, parigraha, that is life. We have come here to enjoy, therefore just take with you, collect everything of this world, become the richest in the world, become the strongest in the world, you know, we go for that. But even that is not our aim. Because you may have all the riches of this world. What's the use if at this moment I die? Instant, everything is finished. Everything is left behind. I don't take anything with me. So my aim of life is not that too. My aim of life is not just to collect or hoard things. No. Because I haven't brought them and I will not take them. So I should not be proud of my physical possessions because one day they will deceive me. So why am I here and who am I? Why has this question still not been answered? because we know of the self only as a physical self. But spirituality says that this is all illusion. The physical self is not the truth. Anything that is always changing is untruth, according to spirituality. Jagat mithyam, brahma satyam. So what is satyam? What is truth? That which is unchanging, that which is eternal, that which is imperishable, that which is constant. If something is changing and perishable, and you know, that's called asatya in spirituality. But I am satya. This physical body compared to the self is asatya. Because in this physical body, every moment there is a change. Every 8 to 10 years, all the cells of the body change. Therefore, your old photograph will not be valid in your new passport or new identity card. You need a fresh photograph, because there are changes happening on the face too. And therefore, because of these changes, the real self is not understood in this way. Physically, I am not the same what I was 20 years ago. This body has changed completely. All the cells have changed. They have been replaced. But I am the same. I was, I am, and I will always be. I was there even before the body came into existence, and I will continue to be even after the body perishes. And therefore, when we say human being, we have two words, human and being. The human part is the skeleton part. This body has a skeleton inside of bones. That's the human part. Skeleton, flesh, muscles, you know what not, all the physical systems. But the being part is something different. That is why they say, you are not what you eat, because what you eat will be your physical part. You are not what you wear, that will also be your physical part. You are not what you do physically, that's also the physical part. But you are what you think, that's the spiritual part. You are what you feel, that's the spiritual part. You are what you experience, that's the spiritual part, which is like a software in the body. You know, a computer may be very powerful, a super computer with a very powerful memory, hard disk, motherboard, you know, everything. Very, very powerful, very, very expensive. But what if there is no software put in it? What use is it of? And therefore, the information technology today is something which is marvelous. Of course, you know, hardware specialists of computers, they also earn a lot. But those who are in the information technology, IT, their income is so high, so great, because they are giving new programs. So we can see that who is the thinker? Who is the one who experiences and feels and realizes and gets the awareness? It's not the physical part. You may say it is the brain, but the brain is also like a hard disk. It's not the software. It's just like, you know, there are so many examples. A small child is able to recollect his past life. How is he able to recollect? It's not part of the memory of this life. How is he able to recall his past life? That memory has come from another life. And therefore, it's not part of this brain. little children are able to be, I know they are so talented. They get those talents, those arts of singing, dancing, you know, painting, without having anybody teaching them. From where did they learn this art? Nobody taught them. So it is something which has come from the past lives. So that's what we call the software. That's what we call it as a soul. There are many instances where somebody is being operated upon in an operation theater, and all of a sudden the heartbeat stops, the brain beat stops, everything stops. And the surgeons, the doctors, they are not sure what to do next. Everything is stopped, he's dead. But then after a while, he wakes up. He wakes up and that person shares his experience that how he could see his body from above. He also had an experience of maybe flying somewhere through a dark tunnel and then seeing some light. You know, many experiences they share. But the body is dead. So who experienced? The body was not experiencing anything. So who is experiencing? There are instances of out-of-body experiences, or science sometimes says near-death experiences, but the body is dead. So the one who experiences is not the body. It is that software. And that we call it as the spiritual being. So I am that spiritual being in a physical body, not something physical having something spiritual in me. I am spiritual in this physical existence. And that spiritual entity, we call it as the soul or the spirit, or the psyche, as many would say, or the consciousness. Many different words are given to that. So, who am I? Somebody may say, I have a soul in me. But that's not what I am. I have a soul in me is not the right statement. If I say I have a soul, that means if the soul leaves, will the body say, now I don't have a soul? Will it be able to say it? That now I don't have, I have and I don't have? So I have a soul in me is not the right statement. Some may use another statement like, I have a soul in my body. Even that statement is not right. Because you are not something third party, different from soul and body. But the right answer would be, I am a soul in my body. Yes, body is my possession, no doubt. I have my handkerchief. I say, this is my handkerchief. But I won't say, I am handkerchief. Because this is something different from me. I possess it. So too, this body is something which is possessed by the soul. And it takes an instant, you know, for the soul to leave the body. It doesn't take long. Because the soul can be compared to a bird. A bird, it flies off in a second. It has its wings. This body cannot be called a bird. It cannot fly off. The soul is also compared to a traveler. It's compared to a foreigner in this world. Because this world is not my world. I have come here as a traveler. We say, I have come from God and I have to go back to God. So if I have to return to God and I have come from God, then who am I? This body has not come from God, nor will this body return to God. The body will lie here. And the five elements will have to be mingled with the five elements by cremating the body or burying the body or whatever way people use in different religions for, you know, eliminating the body. So that's for the body, but I am eternal. So where have I come from? This body has come from matter, the five elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, and these five elements are always in motion. In nature, everything is in motion. But I am that eternal soul. This body is compared to a costume, but I am the actor. An actor can play many roles. So many roles an actor can play. It's not he plays only one role, but his identity doesn't change. His roles may change. We give a very good example of Amitabh Bachchan. You know, he's a very good actor. And how many roles he plays? Very many roles. I don't have to go through to all that, you know, describe all that. But we know who he is in reality. So too, this body is like a costume and the soul is an actor playing so many roles. That is why Shakespeare said, this world is a stage and we are all actors playing our respective roles. In one day from morning till night also you play so many roles. In front of different people your role is different. Someone who is a managing director in a company, he's the boss there. But at home his wife is the boss, not he. She is the boss. She is the one who has to decide. In the office, he may be the boss. You know, there's a joke on this, that once there was an election in a company for vice presidentship in the union maybe or whatever. So, that person lost in that election of vice presidentship. And he came home with a very sulky face, sad face, and told his wife, I lost the election, I could not be the vice president. His wife said, doesn't matter, why are you so sad? At home you are the vice president. At home you are the vice president, that you can use this role. Doesn't matter in the office, because I am the president, no? The wife meant that. You be the vice president. So if not there, then here. So I play so many roles from morning till night. In front of my father, I'm a son. In front of my son, I'm a father. So I'm playing two roles of father and son. But I can't play that same role in front of everyone. In front of my son, I won't play the role of his son. No, I'm the father. In front of my father, I can't play the role of a father, of my father. No, I'm a son. So, from morning till night, we play different roles. And in every life also, we play so many roles. And this body is compared to a costume. So, once I understand this, I understand the truth of my existence. So what is a soul? How does it communicate through the body? Many people say, yes, the soul is eternal, it does not die, it is not never born, it cannot get dried, it cannot become wet, it cannot, get burnt. Yes, the Gita says that. It enters one body, then that is birth, it leaves, it is called death. But the soul is never born and never dies. So I understand that. That is nothing new for you or me. But then, how does it function through the body? What does it do in the body? And where is its location in the body? Even that is very important to know. There are so many concepts about this. Some people may say, the soul doesn't do anything in the body. It's only an observer. Well, how can it be just an observer? Then what is its role in the body? Actually, soul is the doer. That is why it is said the soul is its own friend and its own enemy. Jeevatma apna hi mitra hai, apna hi shatru hai. Atma becomes a Jeevatma when it enters the body. Jeev means the body, the living body, the living cells. Each cell of the body is living. Because there is wear and tear. There is transpiration, respiration in the body cells. So we have the plant cells, we have the animal cells. So these cells also have life in a physical way. So that's physical life, no doubt. But the spiritual life, the soul, that is me. And I am the master of my senses. It's just like a car, a vehicle. It's very powerful, very new. If the petrol tank is full, everything is so good. But you need a driver to start the engine. And the driver sits in the car, he starts the engine, and there the car moves. But the driver needs complete control of the car. If the driver is not able to control the car, then even how good the car may be, it can meet with an accident. Drink and drive don't mix, they say. A driver, if he's drunk or he's sleepy or he's not attentive, he can do a lot of accidents. But when does driving become a game? When the driver is fully attentive, the car is fully under his control, and he is the real master. The brake is under his control, everything is in order. And then driving is like a game. So too in life, we say this life can be a game, it's not a struggle. But only it can be a game only if I have complete control over my steering wheel, my gear, my clutch, my accelerator, brake, everything. Full control. So I am the master of these senses. I am not the senses. The soul is the master. When I say I am looking, now who is looking? You say the eyes are looking, but the eyes are not saying I am looking. The mouth is saying I am looking. But the mouth is not looking, it is only speaking. I say I am listening, but the mouth is speaking I am listening. The ears are maybe listening, the mouth is not listening. But I am that one who is doing all the three actions together. I am listening, I'm looking, I'm also speaking. It means I am the one who is different from all the three sense organs. The ears, the eyes, the mouth. And I'm able to work through all the three organs at the same time. So who am I? The answer is not difficult to understand. The answer is I am a soul. And what is a soul? It's a point of divine light and might. Divine light. It's a point, energy. It's a spiritual energy. And it has got three abilities through which it functions through the body. It's like the faculties, you know, in a university you have many faculties. So the soul is the master having many abilities or faculties. The first ability or faculty is the mind. Mind, what is mind? Many people think mind is part of matter. We say no, mind is not part of matter. When you are asked something and you don't wish to answer or you have no answer, you say, well, it doesn't matter. Or you say, don't mind. You know, but mind and matter are not the same. Mind is above matter. Mind is the master of matter. So what is matter? What is mind? How it is above matter? Because matter means the physical energy. And in physical energy we know that there are so many physical energies moving around, you know, in the atmosphere. But the most fast the fastest energy is light energy. Of all the different energies, sound energy, you know, heat energy, magnetic energy, all these energies, but light energy is the fastest, having the fastest speed. But still we say it takes 8 minutes for the ray of sunlight coming from the sun to reach the earth. It takes 8 minutes. But then for the mind to reach the sun, how long does it take? How long? Huh? How long? 1 second. Maybe a fraction of that second too. You think and instantly you are in the sun, mentally. Physically may not be possible, but mentally it can be possible. So what is the speed of the mind? Not just in the present, but you can go into the past. In an instance, you can go back 20 years. You can visualize something in the, of the future. Maybe 20 years ahead, what will be with you? You can visualize. So what is mind? Mind is the ability of the soul to think. It's the thinking power, thinking energy. So who thinks? The soul thinks. The brain may be a medium through which it thinks, definitely. If the brain is damaged, then maybe the soul is not able to think that way because it can't reveal. Just like if this microphone is damaged, however much I speak loudly, you will not be able to hear because this voice cannot be that powerful to reach the person at the end of this hall without the microphone. So too, the soul is that spiritual energy which needs the physical brain for thinking. But who thinks? It's not the brain alone. Please switch off your mobiles. I can hear mobiles, you know. Please switch off or please put on vibrating mode. So, I'm that soul having mind as my ability to think. So mind is like a bridge between the body and the soul. Because the mind is affected by the physical things a great deal. What I eat affects the mind. What I wear also affects the mind, no doubt. What I do affects the mind. Definitely I start thinking about it instantly. The place affects the mind in whatever, you know, situation I'm in or area or accommodation I'm in, immediately my mind will work accordingly. So these physical things do affect the mind. And the mind is always in a duel, always in a like a confusion or a struggle, you know. Why they say life is a struggle? Because mind is always in a duality, to do or not do. Yes, no. You know, always in that confused state. And very often we say, in one mind says do it, the other mind says don't do it, I don't know what to do. Now actually there's not two minds, there's only one mind. But it's like two sides of a coin, you know. When you don't know what to do, you say, okay, head or tail. Head, okay, you win. Tail, the other one wins. So in order to decide, you have to say head or tail. It's like two minds in the sense, like the two sides of a coin. Because one side is affected by the body. The sense organs have become the masters. And they are pressing the mind to do something which will give pleasure to the sense organs. Like for example, you see, the eye sees some tasty food, the mouth begins to water, and the hands want to take it and put on the tongue to get that taste. So the mind will say, okay, okay. But then above the mind, there is another spiritual energy, what we call as the intellect. That's the guiding force, the other side of the mind, which is always guiding the mind. No, don't take it. A diabetic patient knows that he should not be eating sugar. If something sweet is there, he should say no. But then the sense organs want it, the tongue wants it. So the intellect gives up, even though it knows it should not. But still the intellect gives up and the sense organs become the masters. You take a cigarette packet, is written the statutory warning. Smoking is injurious to health. We are reading it and still we are smoking. We don't mind. We go to a particular museum and it's written that please don't touch. But still we touch. We are told not to touch. But still we touch. We are told not to go there, but still we want to go. Why we are told not to go there? Because the eyes want to see. So these sense organs have become the masters and they are controlling the mind. The mind has become a slave of them. And the intellect is suppressed. The decision power is suppressed. The inner voice is suppressed. And the result is we do so many wrong things. Like if the brake stops functioning, brake fails, then what will happen? The car will go out of control and there will definitely be an accident. So the intellect is like the brake which is holding the mind. No, and that mind is holding the senses. But if the intellect fails to give the right decision because the senses have become the masters, then naturally we will do so many wrong actions. And then we regret for that. We say, oh, I should not have done that. I don't know why I did it. But then it's too late. It's no use crying over spilt milk. You say something which you should not have said, then even 100 times if you say sorry, 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 but you have said it, it's like an arrow coming out of the bow. Once it's out, it can't come back. That is why it is said silence is gold, golden, speech is silver. It is better to be silent than to speak something which is not right. Therefore, who is the master? I am that soul, the master of these physical senses. And I have three abilities. The ability to think, which is the mind, and that mind is compared to waves because it is energy, thought waves. It's telepathy. I think of someone and my thought reaches that person immediately and he too starts remembering me. Instantly. It's telepathy. And that speed is so fast. Therefore, mind can be compared to waves, what you call as thought waves. But intellect is the second energy of the soul, the ability of the soul. That is why in Hindi we say, Soch samaj kar kaam karo. Think. Understand and then do something. Think of the consequences also, don't do it abruptly. And nowadays they say in a very beautiful way, think before you think what you are going to think. That's what they say these days. Because let the intellect decide first what you have to think, instead of thinking and then making the intellect work whether to think that or not think that. So let the intellect guide the mind beforehand and think only the right thoughts. That decision should be there in your intellect and that should be the guiding force. Like your aim is there in front of you where you have to reach and you take the right path. Instead of going on the wrong path and then finding out you don't know where you are going, what you are doing. You are wasting your time, energy, money, everything. So you have to be prepared beforehand how you will take, what route you will take and all the facilities, whatever should be there with you. Then, journey is so smooth. So we have to understand that I am that soul having three abilities, the mind, the intellect and the samskaras. The mind is compared to waves and intellect is compared to a balance, a scale. A balance has the needle, it has a horizontal rod and it has two scales at the bottom. And that balance gives the decision power only in the form of weight. It gives you the weight. It doesn't tell you anything else, whether how much it costs or how big it is or how small it is. It doesn't say that. It just gives the weight. So intellect is that faculty of the soul which gives you the decision of what is good and bad, or it tells you what your value system should be. And on that value system is based our whole life. On that value system is based all the laws of this universe. You know, this could be a very big topic. On that value system is based all the laws, even in our judiciary. So, what is that value system? The value of purity, peace, love, happiness, bliss, all these different values in life. And we say if these values are not there in life, then life becomes valueless. Life is valuable only if I have these values. And who is to decide that? The intellect. The guiding force within, which is so pure, so pure. It's like I'm wearing a clean white sari. It's so clean, not a single, you know, spot on it. But if a spot comes for some reason, I have a pen and I, you know, it gives a spot on my clothes, I will not like it. So why this happened? It's so spotless white. So even the spot will not look good. Because the whole thing is so white. Why that spot there? Similarly, I am so pure in my original nature. Every soul in its original nature is very pure. It's very peaceful, very loving, blissful, happy. Because that's what we all like, don't we? Nobody likes to be sad or unhappy or miserable or stressful, no. We all like to be happy, peaceful, blissful. Why? Because that's our original nature. It's just like in the physical world we see all these elements. They have their nature, you know, their qualities. And even if someone disturbs their nature, then they come back after that, like water. The nature of water is coolness. That's its nature. That's its quality. It's meant to be cool. It's coolness giving. But if we try to add fire to it, that means we put it on a stove or a gas, it will heat up. But then it is because heat or fire has been added to it, and therefore the water has become hot, even up, maybe gone up to boiling point. It may turn into steam, okay. But then once the fire is out, the water will come back to its original nature. It will again become cool. It won't remain hot or boiling like that forever. Because its original nature is coolness. It will come back to its original nature. A fragrant flower, however, you know, dry it may become or wither away, whatever. But its fragrance will still be there because that's part of it. It can never go away. So every soul in its original nature is very pure. And therefore, whenever I have any impure thought, the soul has the impure thought, the mind has an impure thought because of body consciousness. Because of forgetfulness, because of ignorance that I am a soul, immediately I say that I'm feeling guilty. The guilty conscious feeling comes. Because in my original nature I am not that bad, I'm very good. So intellect is that guiding force which is guiding the mind all the time. And if I listen to that intellect, then I will never do anything wrong. But why does the mind have those impure thoughts, waste thoughts, unwanted thoughts? And why do I have to apply the brick again and again? No, I should not be thinking that. I should not be thinking like that. Because the mind is affected by matter too much, by the sense organs too much, and not by the intellect. It's the reverse going on. The intellect should guide the mind and the mind should guide the senses. But now it's the other way around. The senses are guiding the mind is guiding the intellect. The mind is saying the intellect, no, doesn't matter, I will take little bit sugar, doesn't matter. I can take little more insulin or little more of my medicine for sugar, doesn't matter. Even if my sugar increases, doesn't matter. But I want to eat. I want to eat because the senses have become the masters. You are told, don't watch television for a long time. Don't watch. It's bad for your eyes. But you see a very interesting movie and you sit for hours and hours and watching and then spoil the eyes. So, the senses have become the masters. But then after that we notice that we get bored too. If that same scene is appearing all the time, you will get bored. The same food if you eat every time, you will get bored. You want a change. Because the physical senses experience is very shallow. It's not deep. Again, you want a change. Because nature needs change. But spiritual being is such, the more you go deep into your inner consciousness, the deeper and deeper you can go. And once you experience that spiritual bliss, you will feel that these physical sense attractions, they are nothing. And we call that spiritual bliss as the true Anand. That is why all our holy men, the names given to holy people is always ending in Anand. Satchit Anand Swami, Satyanand Swami, Vivekanand, Dharmanand, you know, Anand. The last word of the name is Anand. Why Anand? Atmanand. Anand means something very spiritual. It's a spiritual bliss. And the greatest Anand is Paramanand. Paramanand, where the bliss is experienced by connecting the self with the Supreme God, Param Atma. So once I understand myself, it's not difficult to connect with God. Now, what is the self? Then I understand the self as a soul having these three abilities, mind, intellect and samskaras. Samskaras, in other words, in English, they could be called as your subconscious mind. Your subconscious mind is always working, always there. Because the subconscious mind is also affecting the conscious mind. It's your samskaras. Now, what are samskaras? It is the ability to do action. Every soul has his ability to perform actions. Every soul is an actor. We are all wonderful actors playing our roles on this world drama stage. And whatever actions we do, the impressions of those actions don't go in vain. They are not wasted. They are not lost. They form an impression on the soul itself. And that is called samskaras. It's like a CD, a VCD, a DVD. It has the record, though you can't see it, but it is there. And once you have a player, you put that CD in it and you can listen to it or see it or whatever. So to whatever actions I do, don't go in vain. They get recorded. And this record accompanies the soul wherever it goes. And therefore we say, physically nothing accompanies you. But whatever actions you have done in life, they will accompany you. How do they accompany you? In the soul, as the subconsciousness, as the samskaras, and they result in our fate, our bhagya, our future. And again, they create an impact on the mind. So the senses create an impact on the mind, the intellect creates, the samskaras create, and we have different types of samskaras. But which are my original samskaras? My original samskaras are very, very pure. It's like gold, pure gold, 24 carats gold, but then you keep adding iron, silver, copper, then the gold quality reduces. 22, 18, 14, then becomes 9 if it's all iron, little bit gold only. It can turn black. But real gold will never turn black. So I am that soul. And what is my original nature? My original nature is all that what I'm aspiring for in life. And that is peace and love and happiness. So we say every soul is an embodiment of 7 main qualities. It's like the 7 days of the week, the 7 sur music, Sa-re-ga-ma-pa-da-ni. The 7 colors of a rainbow, they are the core colors, the basic colors. Similarly, we have the basic values on which stand the whole value system of this world. Which are those 7 basic values of every soul, whatever it may be? Those 7 basic values are knowledge, purity, peace, love, happiness, bliss, and inner willpower. Inner determination, willpower, so power, the spiritual power. So knowledge, purity, peace, love, happiness, bliss and power. These are the 7 original qualities of every soul, and all of us possess it. Physically, if you are hungry, you may want to eat food, then you take it from outside. You know, you're hungry and you eat food. You're thirsty, you drink water through the mouth. You suffocate because you want air, and then you say, please open all the windows, I'm suffocating. And you get air from outside, breeze from outside. So water, food, air, all this comes from outside, from the physical matter, because the body needs that. 80% and above of the body is just water. And therefore the body needs more of water than of food. And air, oxygen is needed every moment, every second. Because that's very, very precious, very, very crucial. And therefore we need every moment to breathe in and breathe out, and therefore people give importance to pranayama. It's good. It helps the body. But then spiritually, if I want peace and love and happiness and bliss, I can't get that from outside. That I have to take it from inside. And therefore they say, if you want peace, go inside. If you want happiness, go inside. And how do I go inside? That is what meditation teaches me. To go inside means to become aware of the self as a spiritual entity, a point of divine light, as a master of the senses. Having mind, intellect and samskaras as my abilities, through which I function through the body. And where am I in my location in the body? Because every physical sense organ has its, or any organ has its own location. I know where the stomach is, where the liver is, where the kidneys are. We learn that through physiology. But where is the soul in the body? There are so many concepts about this. Something soul is in the heart. Something soul is in every cell. Some may think that soul is somewhere in the navel. Actually, the soul's location in the body is where the center of the nervous system is, because from there it has to dictate. Who is the one who is experiencing? Supposing you are hungry, who is experiencing the hunger? You may say stomach, but no, stomach is not experiencing. Who is experiencing the pain? It's not any part of the physical body, it's all in the brain. If someone has a stroke and gets paralyzed, then no experience whatsoever, is dead. Because the connection with the brain is very weak, it's not there. And then they do magnet therapy, this therapy, that therapy to get back the nerves working again, because the connection with the brain is needed. So the control room is the brain. Heart may be experiencing the feelings, yes, it affects the heart. If you're emotional, immediately your heart starts beating faster. But it's not the control room. Control room is not the heart. The control room is the brain. And the controller has to be in the brain to control it. And therefore we say, where is the soul in the body? For a layman to understand, this is not difficult, between the two eyebrows. We say center of the forehead, you know, between the two eyebrows where ladies apply tilak. You go to a temple, you are applied the tilak of sandalwood. Why sandalwood? Because sandalwood has very good specialities which resemble the soul's specialities. And a tiny point is applied in a sandalwood. Because sandalwood means it's golden in color. And every soul is very pure in its original nature. That's why sandalwood means golden colored, which stands for purity. White stands for purity. White and golden, orange, red, it stands for purity. Similarly, it has got fragrance, sandalwood. So fragrance stands for all the values of the soul, the qualities of the soul, which are so precious. Thirdly, it has fragrance, it has the golden color, and thirdly, it has got coolness. When sandalwood is applied, you feel so cool wherever you apply the sandalwood. It's cool in nature. So we say that every soul is cool in nature. Cool means peaceful in nature. Therefore, I am that pure, peaceful, loving, happy, blissful soul. And if I want to experience these qualities, I cannot ask them from somebody else. I have to experience them from within. And how do I experience them? By having an awareness that I have them. And through that awareness, I'm able to share that with others. Through my thoughts, my words, my actions. So how do I create that awareness? I say to myself, I am a peaceful soul. And the meaning, the word in Sanskrit or Hindi would be Om Shanti. What does Om Shanti mean? The word Om has three alphabets, A, U and Ma. A-U-M we write in English. A-U-M-A, and then we say Shanti. Om comprises of three alphabets, A-U-A-U-M-A. That means, that is me. A-U-M-A, that is me. So what is that which is me? Om, I go within. That which is me is peace. Om Shanti. So my nature is peace. The nature of the body is not peace. You know, when somebody dies, the body is in peace. You know, it is laid to rest. When somebody is dead, we say his body is laid to rest or lying in state. That's what we say in English. Or is buried, is laid to rest. So body is already in peace. But still, we pray for the peace of the soul. Oh God, may his soul rest in peace. Even if the body is in peace, is it not? When somebody dies, we say, in Hindi we say, inka deh shant ho gaya. His body has become peaceful. Because there's no movement. But still we pray for the peace of the soul. It means we don't want peace of the body. We don't want death. We want peace in life. And who is the one who is experiencing peace, who wants to experience peace in life? Not the body. The body needs action, movement, every moment. Even if there is, my heartbeat stops for a second, I can get very afraid, oh, something has gone wrong. Pulse beat stops or starts falling, the doctors get worried, why is the pulse falling? Or it stops, finish, dead. So we don't want it to stop. It should be always going on and on and on. So it means movement of the body is needed every moment. The more we give movement to the body, the more the energy comes. But mentally, the more I keep myself calm and cool, the stronger I can become from within. See the difference between body and soul? But today we are doing the opposite. We should be giving calmness to the mind. Instead, we try to make the body not work, you know. Whole day we are sitting in the office and just sitting, not having any physical movements. And too much of tension, stress, too much. So we are doing the opposite. Where the mind should be at peace, I'm stressful. And where the body should be in motion, I'm not giving any motion to it. And the result is so many diseases of the body and the mind. And that's why we see young executives who have been so emotional, so stressful, they die instantly. 40 years, 35 years, in the prime of their life, when they have so much energy to do so much, immediately heart fail, finished, end. Why? Because the body was not given much work, but the mind was working too much. So we say that they bring the end of their life in their prime time. But all this is because we don't know how to meditate. And once somebody gets a heart attack, though he survives, he doesn't die, the doctors will tell him, now you have to change your lifestyle. You have to be more calm, more cool. Take it easy. Take it easy. And learn meditation. Change your diet, but also learn meditation. So Raj Yoga teaches us how to go within and become aware of the self as an entity separate from the body. And where am I in the body? At the center of my forehead. So where the Hatha Yoga or these physical asanas end, you know, Raj Yoga begins. Because the physical asanas end by concentrating at the center of the forehead. You know, the last asana after doing the different asanas is Shavasana. And in Shavasana, you are trying to relax your limbs, your senses. Relax, 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 and then you come here. Relax means as if they are dead. Ultimately, you reach the Agya Chakra. But then, in Raj Yoga, we say, you start from here. You start from here because I am the master sitting here. And by sitting here, I get control of all my senses. Like a driver starting the car or starts making the engine work by turning the key, immediately the whole car is under its control. So I sit here and control my sense organs, give energy to my senses. And if I want to withdraw, I can withdraw in a second. By becoming aware of the self as a point of divine energy seated here. And then I can go beyond the pull of the physical senses also in a second. Mentally, how? By becoming aware of my eternal home. Where have I come from? This physical world is not my home. Therefore, when I am unhappy in life, I am miserable, I am so sad, I just want to end my life. And I say to God, oh God, please call me back, I don't want to live. Now what does that mean? The soul is crying out to God to call it back. It's like becoming homesick. You know, when you're away from your home for a long time, you get homesick. You want to return home. Soon as possible. So every soul, because it has played a lot of roles on this world drama stage, it sometimes gets homesick. It remembers its eternal home. So if you want to remember your eternal home, no need to get homesick. Just return home in a second. It should not take you long. Like you are sitting here, you have come from Chennai or from Coimbatore or from Hyderabad or from wherever you have come. If you want to reach your home mentally, how long should it take you? How long? Huh? 1 second, you think and you are at home. So we say instead of praying to God to end your life, you should just mentally go back to your home. But today we don't know where our true home is. And therefore we say, I don't want to live in this world. I don't want to live in this world. Or we complain to God, oh God, why did you make this world? This world is full of sorrow. We say, no, the world is full of happiness. But we don't know the art of living. This is why we think this is the world of sorrow. You are working using a machine and you don't know how to use it. You may spoil it or you may, you know, make your finger come under it. Then you don't have to blame that machine. But you didn't know how to work it. So no need to blame this world. No need to blame other people. No need even to blame yourself. Just change yourself. Create that awareness. Who am I? From where am I? My eternal home is beyond the 5 elements. The sun, moon and the stars, it is in the 6th element of eternal, infinite, golden, red light. What we call as the Brahma element. So earth, water, fire, air, ether are the 5 elements of this physical universe. But the 6th element is the infinite world of golden, red light, which we remember as the Brahma element. What is Brahma? It's actually the 6th element beyond these 5 elements, beyond this physical cosmos, beyond this physical universe, is another world. That is the spiritual world, the soul world, where the light of the sun, moon and the stars does not reach. It's not a physical element at all. It's a self-effulgent light without having any physical source which is giving light to it. It's a self-effulgent light. But it is non-living. And the souls dwell there in that eternal home of light. From where we descend into this world. Now many question, why did we come in this world if we belong to that world? We came here with a purpose. We didn't come here for no reason. We say God sent us. That means God sent us with a purpose. No, He just didn't throw us because He didn't want us to be there. No. He sent us with a purpose. Just like the government sends its students abroad for studying, for working. You know, why? Because the government wants that its natives, its citizens should be able to give name to the country. And if someone gets a scholarship and goes abroad to study or even to work there, you know, and really gets a good name, then the name of the country is glorified. Yes, so and so did so beautifully, so well there. But then from where was it originally? From India. So India's name is glorified, though that person is now living in America or England or wherever. Originally is from India, we say. So we feel proud that he is from India. So when I say God sent me, he sent me with a purpose. There are three reasons why I am come in this world. And I have to ask myself, am I fulfilling those three reasons? Am I working accordingly? The first purpose was as an actor to play my role on this world drama stage. As a true actor. And I should be playing my role so beautifully that each action I do should become a memorable act. Which people should say, once more, you did it so beautifully, so well. So every action of mine should create a good impact on every one I come across. Because I have to be such a good actor. So my acting should be the best of all. That means the action should be the most righteous ones, which should be appreciated by all. The second reason why I came into this world was to share my spiritual qualities with one another. You know, by sharing, I don't lose anything. Physical things, if I share, maybe I lose. I have 10 rupees, I share 5. I will be left with only 5, not with 20. Money won't multiply in my pocket. But if I share happiness, my happiness doubles. If I share peace, my peace doubles. If I share knowledge, my knowledge doubles. If I share idea and somebody else shares that one's ideas, then my ideas become double. You know? Sharing of virtues and values and ideas and feelings doubles mine, it increase. Physical things decrease on sharing, but spiritual things increase on sharing. This is the beauty of my spirituality. So if I want to increase my peace, let me share my peace with others. I don't have to ask for peace. Oh God, give me peace. I don't even have to say that. Peace is my own nature. If I ask God for peace, how will God give me peace? He's already giving. I should be able to receive it. Like the sun is already giving its light and heat. I should be able to receive it. If I've kept my windows shut and doors shut, how will I receive the light and heat? So I have to open that. So I have to finish my ignorance by becoming aware of the self as an eternal, peaceful soul. Not only I am peaceful, but my abode is an abode of peace. So instead of asking God for peace, just become aware, I am a peaceful soul residing in the abode of peace. And instantly, I become peaceful. And if I want to increase that peace more, whenever I see anybody, I think of that one also as a peaceful soul. And through my eyes, I share peace through vibrations. My words, I share thoughts of peace. Through my actions, I'm giving peace to that soul by fulfilling its desires or hopes or feelings, whatever. So in this way I share peace with all and my peace increases. I feel so satisfied, so contented that I have done a good job. So what is the meaning of self? I am a soul, a pure, peaceful, blissful soul seated at the center of my forehead, master of my sense organs, resident of the abode of peace, come into this world as an actor, as a traveler, As a foreigner, yes, because my home is beyond the five elements of earth, water, fire, air, ether, sun, moon, stars. And in an instant, in a second, I can travel with my mind and intellect to that supreme abode and visualize with my mind's eye a beautiful world of golden red light. And in that world, I, the soul, am able to experience myself as a point of divine light in that world of infinite light. And in that state, I'm totally free of all physical bondages, totally light. And as free and light, I can experience whatever I want to experience. If I'm bonded in bondage, I can't experience anything what I wish to experience. So this is what Raj Yoga means. This is the first step in Raj Yoga, awareness of the self. So let us now sit in that consciousness, okay? So whatever you heard, maybe you have questions, but today is not the session for question answers. We will have it on the last day. But whatever you have heard, on the basis of that, please try to practice, okay? So how will you practice? Let us sit upright, please, okay? Sit upright, keeping your back straight. If you have anything in your hand, please place it down. Don't have to have it holding. Don't hold anything. Be free. You can, you know, cross your fingers like this. And if you are sitting on the chair, it's fine. You can put your feet on the floor, but keep them joined so that gives the energy back. And your fingers folded. If you are sitting on the floor, it's fine. On the chair also, it's fine. Keep your back straight, your head straight too. And one difference between the other types of meditations and Raj Yoga meditation, which is practiced here, is we practice with open eyes. Open eyes. Maybe at the beginning you may not be able to do it easily, but gradually in the long run, it helps us a great deal. Because we'll be able to practice it even whilst performing actions, whilst moving, whilst sitting, whilst eating, whilst walking, you know, because we can't keep our eyes shut whilst doing actions. So, but in the long run it can help. Now it may not help that much. So we say practice with open eyes. If you cannot, doesn't matter. You can shut them. But don't think that I have to practice only with closed eyes. So try to keep your eyes maybe half open. And this red light is actually an indication that I have to experience myself in the soul world. This light is reminding me of my soul world, the world of infinite golden red light. And the vibrations created in this hall also help me to go beyond the physical attractions, the physical pulls. And if you want a further help, then like I'm sitting in front of you, you can take vibrations from the one sitting in front of you by having a thought that like this one is a yogi sitting in communication, you know, doing communication with the self, having self-awareness, so I have to take the inspiration and also become aware of myself. You can with your soul's eyes, mind, visualize that this one is also a soul, a point of divine energy. I see all of you as points of divine energy seated at the center of your forehead. And in this way, I'm purifying my vision. So vision can be purified by keeping the eyes open and taking in the pure vibrations from the atmosphere and from the person sitting in front of you conducting the meditation. But keep your mind very cool and calm. I will help you to create those peaceful thoughts and thoughts of awareness. So you can, with your mind and intellect, guide your thoughts. Ask yourself, who am I? Where am I from? Why am I here? What is my purpose of life? And I'm able to reply these questions from within. I am a soul. A point of divine energy. Seated at the center of my forehead, and the master of my sense organs. The master of this physical body. I am a spiritual being, a soul. Peaceful in nature. Pure, I am a peaceful soul. I am a pure soul. Loveful soul. A blissful soul. A powerful soul. This physical body is only my costume. Which I have put on to play my role on this world drama stage. I have played many roles. I have also put on many costumes. But now I have to return home with my mind and intellect second, I can fly to my eternal home. Beyond this physical world, beyond the light of the sun, moon and stars, to my eternal home, the soul world, the world of silence. I feel myself to be totally free from the pull of matter. From the pull of physical attractions. From the pull of any type of limitation. I am in the unlimitedness. I'm surrounded by light all around me. Tiny point of divine light in a world of infinite golden red light. I am a powerful soul. Peaceful soul, dwelling in the world of peace. In total silence. How peaceful I am. Peace is my original nature. I am now aware of my true self. I am so light. Completely detached. Free. I am a blissful soul in a state of complete release. I am a peaceful soul. Absorbing myself in the ocean of peace like a drop absorbed in the ocean. I have now realized my true self. Gradually, I come back. Into the physical world. And seat myself at the center of my forehead. With that awareness that I can return to my home in a second and experience peace in a second, as now I'm totally conscious of my true nature. I can translate my true nature even in actions and words, and bring the same thoughts and thereby multiply, increase my qualities. I'm the master. Oh.